Good morning. I'll start, and, even if there's people still coming in. Just to introduce myself, my name is Alan Leach from the Westwood Clubs in Dublin, Ireland. For the next 90 minutes, and it's probably impossible, I'm going to talk about how to put together or come up with a 12-month sales and marketing plan to increase profitability. One of the things that I will do on the presentation is I will use Westwood Club as a case study to just show you that if you do have an effective and well-thought-out sales and marketing plan, you can certainly compete a lot better. You can compete against budget clubs, you can compete against recessions, you can compete against a lot. So while we do this, it'll probably be in certain stages. The first stage will be just to give you an idea of what we do at Westwood Clubs in Dublin to help us compete from a sales and marketing point of view. Secondly, because one of the things with marketing plans is people look for a marketing plan, say, can you just give me a marketing plan for the next 12 months? One of the things in marketing planning is you do need to know the difference between market planning and a marketing plan. Marketing planning is what you do to come up with a marketing plan. The marketing plan is a written document that outlines what you're going to do in marketing over the next 12 to 6 to 18 months. Marketing planning is what you do before that to come up with the information to put into your marketing plan. But first, I will just go through Westwood to give you an idea of what you can achieve and try and describe the club. I know some of you, because the industry is getting more fragmented than ever before, there will be personal training studios, there will be class studios, there will be ladies-only gyms, there will be family fitness centres, dry facilities, wet facilities. A lot of what I show you that we do, to be honest with you, can be used at any size club, okay? And it can dramatically increase profitability. So when I do show what Westwood does, it's not to boast or say how great we are, it's just to show you where a lot of these marketing strategies and tactics fit in. By the way, if anybody wants, I just wanted to save paper. This whole presentation is available to you all on SlideShare, if you want it. If you just type in the title of the slideshow, it should be up there now. I put it on this morning. The other thing, if you want the link to it, if you email me at alan.leach@westwood.ie, I will email you the link to the presentation. So you have the full presentation there. Do what you like with it. I'll probably leave it up for about 2 weeks. Okay? Now, very, very quickly, because there's a lot to cover, because as I say, trying to do this in 90 minutes is quite difficult. With marketing planning or marketing plans, there is the academic side of marketing planning, and then there's what you put into place. I know with a lot of these presentations, a lot of people are just looking for, can you give me something that I can implement fairly quickly? Okay? So I will go through it very quickly. Just with regard to Westwood Club, that's on the other side of the world, so a lot of you may not know it. Westwood Club is a 28-year-old company. One of the clubs is 27 years old. We are a high-priced club, just to kind of give you an idea. We charge, and I've transferred a lot of this over to dollars, $694 joining fee. Okay? We do discount that in offers, but that's the joining fee. Our monthly dues are $99. For a normal membership, if you want tennis membership, it's $125. Okay? So it is a high-priced club in Dublin, and we compete a lot against a lot of different clubs. Very quickly, just to show you the type of club, do keep this in mind. A lot of what I will show you, you can do in a personal training studio. To be honest with you, a lot of what we do, we rob from the small clubs that are successful in the States and Europe. So it's the same thing. Just to kind of give you an idea, we offer swimming, aquarobics. Les Mills is a huge part of what we do. If you type into Google, the biggest group exercise studio in the world, you will get our studio, okay? That holds about 100 people. We opened that last year. We also have a spa, all the normal trimmings you get in an upmarket, expensive club. Not necessarily making loads of money, these climbing walls, and we have a junior membership as well. So just to kind of give you an idea, and I will show you a video that shows you more about the clubs, they are very big facilities, very expensive facilities, and there's a lot in them. But one of the problems with facilities, and this should show you where marketing fits in, is one of the big problems of depending on facilities, it's not enough to sell memberships. It's just not enough to sell memberships anymore. I don't think it ever was, and I don't think it is now. People are looking for a lot more. And some of the reasons that facilities on their own are not enough, and you will have to have a sales and marketing plan in place to try and make the most of it, is, and I am going to show you that through the Westwood case study. There's no doubt that clubs are getting a lot better. At one stage, Westwood Club in Dublin was a very, very upmarket, well-built club. It had a lot of facilities, but things are changing. Just to show you some of the competition we have, and obviously it's not great on this screen, but anyway, that is one club. Now, the clubs I'm showing you now here operate within about a 2 or 3 mile radius of one of our clubs. Okay, it is very, very competitive in where one of our clubs operates. Actually, most of them, extremely competitive. That is what you would call a luxury club charging less money than us. That's the gym. That, by the way, is a budget club in Dublin. That's a Dublin budget club with a 25-meter swimming pool. So in Ireland, our budget clubs are not necessarily dry facilities. And again, very cheap techno gym in a budget club. We would have also had the Family Style Fitness Centre, Total Fitness, beside us. I'm trying to give you the type of competition we went against over, say, 4 or 5 years. We also have, in our area, in one of our clubs, we compete against, within about a 4 or 5 mile radius, about 4 to 5 government-funded, taxpayer-funded health clubs that have no chance whatsoever of going out of business. They can lose money hand over fist, and they cannot go out of business. We compete against them. And they go out and aggressively market to take our members. So this is the sort of competition we have. You probably have it in the way MCA is here. And those government-funded clubs are okay. This is a university club. Now, again, this is the type of competition we operate against. And I'm really just showing you this before we get on to the sales and marketing planning process. The other thing from our point of view, and I'm sure if any of you are in, you know, in the industry a long time, you're going to see that things are changing. There are other things that are affecting competition or affecting how you do business. So really what you're looking at is what happens in your market that can affect whether you will be successful or unsuccessful. And there's a lot of things that you need to look at. But again, I'm just showing you, this is us. And if you look at the very top there, now we're not the most expensive. There is one or two. David Lloyd's is more expensive. $125 for monthly membership. $99 if you don't want to be in the tennis club. And all the other clubs are a lot cheaper. All of these clubs in 2006, 2007, and 2008, we were competing against, and they were aggressively trying to take our business. As you see at the bottom there, there's the Ben Dunn chain. They offer clubs for next to nothing. One of the clubs that I showed you that was a budget club was the one with the swimming pool, not too far away from our from us, okay? The main thing then is, if you are in a competitive environment, or you're only starting out, or you're a personal training studio, or you're a ladies-only gym, or you're a chain of 40 clubs, one of the things that you're looking at is, why do you even need a marketing plan? Now, I am going to go through this, but again, just to show you in the context of Westwood, because we are very much a sales and marketing company. We look very closely at what we do in sales and marketing. We plan it. We implement best practice in sales and marketing. We get most of it from URSA, okay? But just to kind of give you a quick case study in how sales and marketing happened at Westwood. I don't know anybody here from Ireland. Hopefully none of our competitors. In 2005, if you don't know, you did read, Ireland had come through the biggest economic boom in the history of the state. The biggest economic boom ever. Wages went through the roof. Unemployment dropped to practically zero. Any fool could open up a fitness centre. You simply walked into a bank and said, can I have $500,000 or $1 million, and they gave it to you. It was as simple as that. There was clubs built where people paid, you know, 70, 80,000 euros just for a chandelier on the entrance. Okay? It was a boom time. People had money. People joined clubs without even thinking about it. They would pay high fees. It was a great time. Okay? That was 2005. To kind of give you an idea where Westwood fitted in, Westwood Club was operating in the boom. 3 clubs, 20,000 members, high fees. It didn't have 20,000 then, but that's what it has now. High fees operating in the boom. Between 2003 and 2005, over a 3-year period, they were averaging about 7,100 new memberships a year. So whatever sales and marketing activity they were doing, they were selling about 7,100. Do bear in mind, for some of you, that might be astronomical. Some of you, that might be small, okay? We are 3 clubs, 2 of them. We would need those sort of numbers. That's being honest with you, with the level of investment that went in. But that's what was happening in 2003 and 2005. Anybody late, by the way, I will show you how to get this whole presentation on SlideShare. It's up there for anybody who wants to get. Now, in 2006, January 2006, I was brought in because, believe it or not, they didn't think the 7,100 new members a year was enough. So the idea is, they didn't feel it was growing the membership enough because they were losing members, and you know the story, what happens with attrition. So my brief was to put a sales marketing system in that would turn this around. The reason I'm showing you this case study is, if you're looking for a sales and marketing plan for 12 months, you're going to have to rethink that, because one of the things that you will need to do in sales and marketing is think of it long term, that you become a sales and marketing company that's effective every day, and that you're doing sales and marketing every day and you're thinking about it every day as opposed to just January, February, March and that. But just to kind of give you an idea, with the sales and marketing that I'm going to show you in a while that we put in place, sales training, hiring professional sales staff, particularly in that first 2 years, the vast majority of the sales and marketing activity that we did was simply recruiting decent people, really a lot of sales training, implementing best practice sales systems had this effect that I'm going to show you. At this stage, we really hadn't touched on marketing or branding or direct marketing or e-marketing or anything like that at this stage. But by 2008, we had sold 11,490 that year. So 2008 compared to that, the boom time. So as I say, 2003 to 2005 was the economic boom, the Celtic Tiger. More money than sense. 2008, we had just come into a recession, still sold 11,500 members. To give you an idea that with regard to averages, the 7,100, for every year, 2006, 2007, 2008, we were averaging about 10,855 new memberships a year. The other thing I should tell you that about the 53% increase, we increased our joining fees by 150%. The joining fees went, I'm trying to convert this to euro, went from about $300 to the $600 or $700. We increased the joining fees by 150%. We also increased all monthly dues by 10%, yet sold this extra 53% memberships. But a lot of that was down to sales as opposed to marketing. Then 2008, a recession hit. So we had done what we could as far as sales was concerned. We were having a great 3 years, and then out of the blue, October 2008, Ireland just got decimated. Taxes went through the roof, everything happened. To kind of give you an idea, unemployment in Dublin in 2001 was 3.6%. In 2005, it went to 4.5%. In 2008, it went to 8.6%. And in 2012, we have the lovely unemployment rate of nearly 15% in Ireland. So look at the different phases so you'll see where the sales and marketing works. Boom time, they were selling a lot less memberships than in the recession. Okay? So that was 2008. To kind of give you an idea of the effect that had in the country. In 1996, you could buy a normal family home for about $80,000. Okay? $90,000. By 2000, that went to where it would cost you $276,000. By July 2006, it would cost you nearly $600,000. When the recession hit, it had such an impact that, bang, house prices just fell through the floor. One of the reasons I'm showing you that is that when you put together a marketing plan, you really have to look at the economic environment and think about what could happen that could affect your business. What could happen that could affect your business? Because the thing with this was unemployment at just 15%. Most people in the country under the age of 34 years of age or 35 years were now in serious negative equity. We lost so many members from October 2008 to February 2009. I mean, 1 or 2 months, our attrition rates went up to over 70%. It was colossal. That's the negative impact it had. To kind of give you an idea, around 2010, actually the last time I spoke at URSA, the two biggest chains in the country went bust. That one there just went, gone. It's still sitting there empty today. Three massive, big, purposely built clubs that were successful, but the recession had a massive impact. Okay. To kind of give you an idea again, lucky for us, and this is what you need to think if you're thinking long-term about your fitness business, not just a 12-month plan. If you have a sales and marketing culture across your company, you can survive most of these things because you can very quickly, you know, get ahead of the competition, because a lot of times those competition are only succeeding because of a boom time or whatever. To kind of give you an idea, this is the impact that the recession should have had. Again, I'm showing you 2003 to 2005, 7,100 memberships on average. after the recession, after the collapse of the economy, and I mean the economy went bankrupt nearly. We had to be bailed out by Europe. Nobody had any money. Taxes went through the roof. Some people had 15, 20% of their wages suddenly taken out in taxes every month. We were still, in 2010, being able to sell 10,500 memberships. Okay, and I will show you a lot of the techniques we do that. Even if you look at the average, so right through the recession, right through the economy crashing, right through employment going up, right through all the new competitors, we were still selling 10,500 new memberships a year at a higher price than we were selling them in the economic boom. The last thing I want to show you, and again, so that you can take home some of the stuff I give you and use it. One of the things I discussed with people is when I was coming to speak at URSA this time, do I tell people what we did in January 2013? And I spoke with the MD, I spoke with everybody, because I said, nobody's going to believe this. It's going to be like, yeah, right, this can't be true. But I said I'd show you anyway. But again, just to kind of give you an idea, that was the start of 2012, what I've shown you. In 2012, and if you think you have a new competitor, watch this. The middle of 2012, a university club opened that you can drive to in about 4 minutes from us. The campus cost $60 million. I think the fitness center cost about $45 million, which is about $50 million to build. It put in a brand new 50-meter pool. It had, these are the facilities that went in. And even though it's a university college fitness center, they aggressively marketed to our market. It's just, call it a college fitness center, but they're out there looking for the competition. The bottom photograph is interesting because not only did they build this fitness center to destroy us, I think half of the staff in the bottom photograph are our staff, trained by me. Not the fitness staff, but so they took all our staff. This is a college fitness center with a spa that, you know, you wouldn't get in the best parts of the world. I mean, a fabulous spa. So that happened in the middle of 2012. This one went in just one end, you know, literally 2 minutes away, a brand new government built, well, it was another fitness center government, but they've added a brand new pool, locker rooms, everything. That was 2012. I'm putting that in as the very start of 2012, but it's actually, it went in at the end of 2010, but the start of 2012. The reason I'm showing you this is that we were prepared for a lot of this competition. We knew this competition was coming, and we had to look very closely at how we would take this competition on. But that's a budget club in Dublin. If you can imagine, this is the Mandalay Bay. He opened that without even going beyond the car park. That's how close it is. That's how close it is. He opened that. So that's what was there. What makes things worse, he went the other side of the Mandalay and put another one. So we now have two of these on either side of us, budget clubs, charging less than $190, that's euros, a year, okay? It's about $15 a month. This club here is about to open, I think, in about 2 weeks. The reason I'm showing you is when I show you what we did in January is he came out aggressively marketing. So we were being hit from every angle, budget clubs, college fitness, government-funded clubs, personal training studios, aggressively trying to take our business from this club. I don't know if this is legal in America, but just to kind of give you an idea of how they're trying to take our business, this is his radio advertisement.
Now here's good news for members of the Westwood Gym at Leopardstown. The new Ben Dunn Gym in Cherrywood opens in less than 12 weeks. 1 year's membership is less than €200 per year, no joining fee, and all classes are completely free. Westwood charge €75 per month, which is over €800 per year. Ben Dunn Gyms, leading the way in price and quality in South Dublin. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, in our office, you can hear that non-stop all day. Our reception, administration, lives, and I am telling you, he's spending enormous, non-stop. There's not... a lot of my managers are here, every 10 minutes constantly on the radio. Westwood members, why would you pay that? Join here. That's the tactic you use, and fair play to them, okay? But the thing is, we would have a marketing plan in place. And that marketing plan, looked long before he came, what will we do if Ben Dunn comes in? What will we do if this competition comes in? So we have a marketing plan. Now, the reason I'm going to show you this before I move on to the marketing planning process is to kind of give you an idea. That aggressive marketing coming from the competition, two budget clubs next door to us, a university $60 million fitness centre, government-funded fitness centres within minutes from the door. Last year, in this club in Leopardstown, they sold 366 new memberships. This January 2013, 603. Okay? It's not that we suddenly did something. It is the result of what we've been doing on a regular basis. And I'll show you those techniques. To kind of give you an idea of that club again, there's the average for the boom time in Ireland. Economic boom, 275 memberships per year, approx for 3 years in January. 2006 to 2008, that was 407, and this year, 603. The other thing then I would show you as well is, just again, in January 2013, last year there was 951 sold, this year that. That's the three clubs combined on a higher price than we used to charge. Okay, so that's the end of Westwood. The only reason that I'm showing you that is that the stuff I do go through with you that you're going to implement into a marketing plan works, but you're going to have to do it. Okay, does anybody have a marketing plan? Well done. Is it working? Well done. The good news I would say to you is any marketing plan is better than no marketing plan. Okay? There are very sophisticated ways of doing marketing plans and very easy ways of doing marketing plans. The principles are the same. I would say to you, one of the things I will go through, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in actually going through the different elements of the marketing plan. I'll go through quickly because you can go online and download a template and put your own information in. It's quite simple. Okay? The more important part is that you go through the process. A good marketing plan. Now, again, you don't need to take the notes unless I tell you because you have access to this on SlideShare. A good marketing plan, generally, that means the documented marketing plan that you will have, okay, that you're going to write up, will be the result of the marketing planning process. What that means is, and I'm going to go through it with you, there is a process that you need to go through before you start writing down your marketing plan. Okay, it's simple enough, but I'll go through it. It should be based on adequate but not excessive analysis. So don't spend 6 months trying to analyze your market unless you've got 20 clubs and you know at that stage you can hire someone else to do it. So you do need to look at the market, you need to look at your competitors, you need to look at everything, but not excessively. Okay? When you have your document written, it can be 4 pages, 20 pages, 50 pages. I like something around 15 to 20 pages. Okay, that is your marketing plan for your club, your business. And ideally, it should be written in a way that if you had a new employee, you could give it to them. If you had an investor, you could give it to them. If someone asked what you do, you could give it to them. And you can roll off that, okay? So it should become the marketing plan for your business. The other thing, too, is I'm sure some of you, if you've studied marketing, if you haven't, don't worry, I'll go through this. You talk about the marketing mix. You'll hear the 4 P's, the 5 P's, the 7 P's. They're really just the things that you put into a marketing plan and you document how you're going to use those variables to compete in your market. And generally, those are things like in product marketing, price, promotion, place. They're just the things about you, what you do, and your product. Okay? But I will go through those with you. The other thing that you need to look at very clearly is market segmentation. If you have a fitness business and you have a market, you should be able to segment that market. Very simply, that might be, well, we cater to men and women. You might decide to go a little bit deeper. We can cater to young men and old men. We can cater to fit people and unfit people. We cater to newbies and regular trainers. So you do need to document that down as the different segments that you cater to. The reason being is that you want to target those different segments. Up to now, that was quite difficult in the fitness industry. Okay, because how do you write a brochure for 25 different segments? Or do you do 25 brochures? What is one way that makes it easier than ever to target different segments? I will show you in a minute. Okay, the other thing too is that it should be actionable and measurable. Don't put down into a marketing plan if you were selling 800 memberships last year that you're going to sell 8,000 this year. You need to put in something in place that's actionable and measurable. One of the reasons that it should be actionable is do not give salespeople targets that are just crazy because you'll have a reverse effect. If they cannot make commissions and they cannot achieve the targets, they'll just give up. That's pointless. Okay, so it should be based. It should be reasonable in what you're going to do. It should be time-sensitive, a marketing plan. What that basically means is when you write your marketing plan, you do need to, at some stage, say, here's what we're doing at the different stages. Okay, so that there is what a good marketing plan should really be based upon and should include. Okay. This is the marketing planning process. And again, because I know you're going to be all looking for the special things that you can use. The marketing planning process, and I'll keep going over this, is what you do before you write your marketing plan. So if you could be doing this before you even open a business. You could be doing it when you're 2 years in business, 20 years in business. But the first thing you need to do is, and big companies would do this all the time, is you need to do what's called a marketing audit. Now, we're getting into the academic side of marketing, and I don't want to get too deep into it because I could be talking for 12 hours. But generally what you're looking at is where you operate. The first thing you need to decide is how big is your market. Now, we all know in the fitness industry, generally that could be 12 to 15 minutes travel time to your door, 12 to 15 minutes travel time to your door by driving, walking, or whatever. And generally, nearly every bit of research will show you that's true. Analyze your own members, and you'll see 85 to 90% do come within that, okay? So really what you're looking at is, look at your market, and you write down each one of these. Even if you decide that you're going to just do it yourself, you start to look at the economic environment and what could affect you over the next 12 to 24 months. So you're looking at, how is the economy? Is it getting bad? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? How is unemployment? If you look at the plan that I wrote, I also look at things like retail price index. You can get that all online. You know, are people spending more money, less money? Are wages going up, going down? Is unemployment going up, going down? So you do need to know that, okay, so that you can just be ready. Social things. Are there social issues happening in your market that will affect your business? I'll give you an example from Westwood's point of view is we had massive immigration in Europe in 2003, 2004, so that helped our business. When the economy crashed, they all left, it hurt our business, okay? So these are the things that you would look at. You would also look at technical issues. A technical issue in the fitness industry is the more stuff being sold online. Look at your industry. Is there a threat from the budget clubs? Look at the competitive environment. You do need to look at all of your competitors and really write down how good are they? Are they a threat or whatever? You then need to look at the regulatory environment. I'm going to give an example of how the regulatory environment can affect you. In Ireland, we're decimated by the government throwing money at public leisure centres that there's really no need for, and that's what I think. But it can have an effect on you because they don't operate under the same commercial competitive rules because they don't go out of business. Okay. The other thing is your brand, and this is something that you can do yourself very, very easily. If you go into the market and ask 35 people, or 100 people, or 200 people, or 300 people to name 10 fitness clubs in the area, will your name come up? And that's what you're looking for. If those things happen, will your name come up? Will your brand come up? So that's something you can do yourself. The other thing you need to look at is differentiation. What that means is your fitness club, your personal training studio, your whatever it is you do, how are you different from your competitor? Now, ideally, differentiation is things that you do that are different that are not the norm. So don't say you've got 25 treadmills when they've got 20. That is not really differentiating your business, okay? We had market research done, and that shows our main differentiator was we were more than just a gym. We were a health club, okay? And it was the thing about differentiation is, and positioning, if you can find out where you are different and how people perceive that you're different, that's what to exploit. If you can find out how you're different, or you can find out how people perceive you to be different, that's what you should exploit. Because if you think you're a family club and the public don't, you've got a battle on your hands, and you need a lot of money to change that perception. If you think you're known as a service-orientated club, but people perceive you as a budget club, it can be nearly impossible to change that. Okay? So you really should exploit what you're known for. That, again, is where research, don't worry, that slide, it's a marketing company used to show us that we were a high-priced club with high service, but not as good as David Lloyd's. Anybody from David Lloyd's here? So we had to work on that, okay? Interesting enough, just to show you that the clubs in the middle, and this is why it's important, if the high end of the market is doing well, the low end of the market is doing well, the middle market is suffering, and in Ireland, those three in the middle are gone. Gone. Okay? The other thing, too, is identify your key segments. Now, one of the things, as I will say to you about identifying your key segments is, if you, from writing a marketing plan, we would have 10, I think it is identify your key segments and try and put a personality on them. So if you can cater to mothers who don't like, you know, big gyms, you could put a name on that. Like, we would do this. So these were emerging segments that we'd identified. Now, you won't, don't need to read that. But what I'm saying to you is we were able to say, okay, lifers are this. This is Bob. He's 50. He's the family man. He plays golf. How do we target that market? Because the market research company we used identified that as a target market that was up and coming. Another one would be ladies of leisure. So that was another market that we saw was out there, and it was given a name. Her name was Holly. She's 38. She's married with two kids. You know, she whatever it is to say there, she drives an X5 Merc. Not anymore, she doesn't, but she did drive an X5 Merc in those days, BMW. And that the idea was, so we had our target, we had our segments, we had our competition, and we were helping ourselves put a plan. Do you know the age profile of your own business? Yep. Would, hands up who would know straight off the top of their head what the age profile of, is of their club? 3%? If you've got software, most of that software will do that with the flick of a button. You know, there's ours. That's it. You know, most software will tell you this. Because what can happen is you can make mistakes and start, are we spending all our money marketing to the over 50s when the vast majority of our money is coming in from that age group? Okay? The other thing you need to look at is, if you want to be successful in marketing, this is something you're going to have to think very, very strongly about. If you own the club, manage the club, own a chain of clubs, or are working in the club as a sales manager is, I can tell you that the vast majority of the stuff that I show you will not work if you don't have a sales and marketing culture in your company. So before you really start working on plans, you're going to have to look at, is there a sales and marketing culture within our company? If I show you here, that's our sales team in one of our clubs in Leopardstown. Well, three of them. You know, they eat, live, and breathe selling. Okay? They know they're there to sell. And they know they're there. It's a marketing company. We do an enormous amount of training with our staff. But you do need to ask, if the owner of your company is not into sales and marketing, if the manager's not into sales and marketing, if the staff have never been trained in sales, you're going to have a difficult job. You're going to have a difficult job. If the owner's never had sales training, the manager's never had sales training, the staff have never had sales training, you will find it very, very difficult to do any of these big figures. Trust me. And if you're in business a long time. The last thing then you do is what's called a marketing analysis. So make it very, very simple, and I want to skip over this very quickly. You've looked at your market, you've looked at your competitors, you've looked very closely at how the economy's going, you've made assumptions that what could happen the next year or two, you've segmented your market, you've decided you're going to go after ladies, men, rugby players, football players, or whatever, and now you're going to do an analysis of that. And usually the best way to do that, does anybody know what a SWOT analysis is? Basically, in marketing stuff, it's very, very simple. You write down the strengths of your company compared to your competitors. So a strength for us now at Westwood is, and most people would know it, we've become very sales and marketing driven. We do a lot of marketing and advertising and direct mail and direct marketing. Most people know we bring in multi-millions from it. We are very aggressively, we decide we want to own the market, and that's it from a point of view of marketing. Weaknesses could be for you, are you too expensive? Do you have no parking? What are the weaknesses that you have that your competitors are stronger at than you? Do you have great classes, bad classes? Are you known for classes or whatever? Do not take any of this for granted. We thought we were known, our members all knew about Les Mills until we surveyed our members. And about 89% didn't know what Les Mills was. Our members had never heard of Les Mills, and we'd had it for about 10 years, so do not. And then what you're doing is you look at your market and you say, are there serious threats coming along? Are there opportunities that we can expose? And then you should do that for your competition. So you SWOT yourself, strengths, weakness, opportunities, and threats. You do it on your competitors. And the idea then is that you will come up with a competitive advantage that you have over your competitors. And those competitive advantages are, you could be a big club that a small club simply can't compete with, or you can be a small club that a big club can't compete with. You're a ladies-only gym, and a big club can't compete with you. So you look at the sustainable competitive advantage that you have that puts you way ahead of the competition. When you've all that done, before you put your marketing plan together, then you need to decide what are your objectives. Write them down, because a lot of times you go into clubs, they don't know. And those objectives can be, there's many. So really, when you walk out of here today, you've got to say to yourself, what are you trying to do? Have you discovered in your marketing audit that nobody even knows you exist? If that's the case, you're going to have to create awareness, and that will dictate that you're probably going to have to do some sort of mass marketing to get your name out there. Or is it that you just need 800 members in the next 4 weeks? And you're flying. Everybody knows who you are. You just need a big January. Or is it a case that you're trying to position your club or reposition your club, that you're known as a family club, but you want to be known as a premier club, or you're known as a serious bodybuilding club and you want to be known as a more, you know, normal club that appeals to everybody? One thing I will say to you is changing your position in the market is extremely, extremely, extremely difficult. Big companies outside the fitness industry try and do it and fail miserably. You're usually positioned the way you are, particularly if you're around a long time, and it's extremely difficult to change. So this is what you're trying to do. Ideally, what we would do, and this is the things I would say to you, is whatever you do, try and build a database. Has anybody here got a database of potential prospects with more than 10,000 names? 30,000? Well done. Has anybody not got a database? No one's going to put the hand up, actually. Okay. And then you write your plan. Now, I'm not going to spend, because I know most of you are looking for stuff that you can take away. Writing a plan usually includes these things, and I will leave it on the screen for you, and I'll go through them. Generally, when you write your documents, you might write half a page of an introduction. Here's my marketing plan, and here's what we're going to do over the next 12, a brief introduction. You would then do a business overview of your company. We've been around 10 years. We've got 27 clubs. We cater to this market or whatever. We hope to build another 20 clubs, so it's a business overview. You would then include details about your marketing audit. You would include your SWOT analysis. So you're starting to put this into a document that you can give somebody, to your sales staff, your sales managers. The other thing then you would look at, definitely put in some market assumptions of what could happen that you haven't discovered. Do you know there's a competitor coming along, or you're going to assume that will be one in the next 2 years? You then talk about what you've been doing in marketing previously, and then you strategic intent. Now, most of these you can get off on the slideshow when you go on SlideShare. The reason is these are generally the chapters that you'd have in a written marketing plan. Now, I could spend 4 hours going through each one of them, but ideally that's the format it would take. That could be a 3-page document, it could be a 50-page document. I would tell you, if you're a small business, the most important thing is that you write it down and you write something. And you need to include what you're going to spend, and then the 7 P's, which I'll go through with you. Now, I know this. One of the reasons I've gone through this is that most people mix up marketing plans with promotional plans. Promotional plans are a small part of a marketing plan, but that's what I'm going to spend the rest of the time with. Marketing plan is usually detailing your prices, your product, your staff training, your design your club, your retention plans. Everything should be in a marketing plan. But I know most of you, or I'm guessing, are coming along because you want a load of stuff that you can take that will bring you in loads of money in the next year or two. Okay? So we will skip some of this. But ideally, you should do the time. The 7 P's, by the way. Ideally, if you write a marketing plan, or you want your manager to write a marketing plan, or you're looking for a marketing plan for a new business, you need to look at 7 P's, particularly in a service company like we are. You need to talk about your product, okay? Now, if you're selling cars, you describe the product. You need to talk about where you sell that product. Is it 1 club, 20 clubs, 40 clubs? Because that's going to dictate what you do. A detailed promotional plan we would go through. The other thing, and I cannot stress this enough, in the fitness industry, your staff are your marketing. If you're hiring staff with no service training, no monitoring that service, nobody responsible for that service, you are not in the marketing game, because that is your marketing. That's what happens every hour of every day that makes a decision whether people stay or leave. Because the way I like to look at marketing is that retention is really selling. That every month you've got to sell another membership and another membership and another membership. If it's personal training, you've got to sell more sessions and more sessions. The other thing is, and again I'll show you the physical environment, is your club, when people walk in service marketing, that's called the environment, that the physical environment that people come in. It has a huge impact on whether people buy or not. So don't underestimate having that in a marketing plan. We built the Les Mills Studio, one of our clubs. It's had a huge impact. It's had a huge impact on retention. Everybody talks about it. So that's a case of where you're changing your physical environment to have an effect on sales and marketing. Okay. The other thing, too, is the process of how you deliver the service that you provide is very, very important. Okay, the process of how you deliver your service. You do need to document that. So when someone joins your club, do they get free personal training? Do they get shown around? What is it? Documented. Okay, the plan. Now, I'm going to just show you. This probably sums up the way I think about health and fitness marketing. You've got marketing or promotions. Okay, we'll call it marketing, but marketing covers everything. Marketing activity that you do and that we do, the goal is this: to feed and support sales. We have sales teams, 13 sales staff and 3 clubs, and the marketing activity we do is simply this: get people in front of sales staff. Sales staff then exploit marketing. So if you do a direct mail campaign, an AdWords campaign, who's doing AdWords? Any success? AdWords is great. Sales exploits that marketing activity. So marketing lets people know you exist, gets them interested, gets them to come into your club. Sales then takes over and hopefully convinces them to be a member. The profitability element comes from retention. And it's very simple. Retention keeps people there. Your retention strategies, your retention managers, or whoever is involved in retention maximizes profit. Okay? And I'll show you some of that. Generally, in fitness marketing, here's what you need to look at. Okay? If you've got an integrated fitness marketing system. Now, a fitness marketing system basically means you take your personal training studio, you take your ladies-only club, you take your whatever it is that you have, and you look at what is the norm for fitness marketing. Number one, you should try and build a strong brand and position yourself well compared to your competitors. Be known for something different than everybody else. Okay? Westwood Clubs is more than just a gym. And people, we didn't convince them that through marketing. They just assumed that over the years. The other thing then is you will do some sort of mass marketing. Mass marketing is newspapers, radio, TV, where you're going to everybody in your market and deciding, hopefully some of these people will have some interest in what we have to offer. You don't know who it's going to. You need to think about reach. If you're marketing and you put in a marketing plan, do not go on the radio advertising if they advertise all over your state and your market is a 12-minute radius. So think about who you want to reach when you're thinking about marketing. Don't waste money on marketing going far outside your market. The other thing is to own your market. We do a lot of that, which basically means our market activity is designed to really take over the market. Have every single person at market that has any interest at all in our database, not in somebody else's. Anybody doing direct mail? Did you know direct mail is on the way back in, not on the way out? Do you know why direct mail is on the way back in? Because email is, the chance of getting through are getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer and slimmer all the time. Well, it's not. It's getting direct mail is growing again, and email marketing, because it's getting more and more difficult to get into people's inboxes. Okay, and I'm going to show you some of the results. Internet marketing. Hands up who checks their Google Analytics every week. It's getting higher. Hands up who puts their site into Alexa.com to just check how it's doing. Hands up who has a YouTube channel. What I will do, by the way, is everybody else, I'll get your name and I'll register your YouTube channel today and then I'll sell it to you afterwards. Register your YouTube channel today. Trust me, it'll be gone very quickly. So there's internet marketing, there's segmentation. Segmentation, we've discussed. Look at who you're targeting and how you're going to target it. The other thing that I'm going to show you in a second is, does every single club have a sales manager? Okay, ideally, you do need to manage sales in your business. If you're under 2,000 members, I would say you could do it as a general manager. If you're over 4,000 or 5,000 members, you probably should have a sales manager who's properly trained and fit in the selling. Yes? Yes? He's just asking about direct mail and response rates. Can I ask you, when you say response, are you talking about people that buy or people that just inquire? Okay. When I show you our direct mail campaigns, a lot of people ask for the letters. We measure response on who buys. I'm only interested in who buys. And we are averaging all the time 1%. Maybe a little under, a little over. The secret of successful direct mail is build your own database. If you're buying lists, yes, that is getting more and more difficult. Build your own database, build your own database, build your own database. Now, one of the things I will show you, and I will skip onto it, direct mail, there is a massive difference in generic direct mail, what I call generic direct mail, and real direct mail. Generic direct mail is where you go to a company who's really a print company, who is churning out the same postcards for you as everybody else, changing the name on it, putting a sticker on it, and sending it to a list. That's generic direct mail. It's the same bland copy that's going out to everybody. Yes, that will not. We write direct mails that we can sometimes spend 2.5 to 3 months, while I write them, to write one direct mail letter. I'll show you some of the packages. And we average, you know, I'm telling you, well over $1 million on each campaign. Well over $1 million. Yes. Don't touch postcards at all. I know that I'll be getting into trouble with some people that sell that, but there's nothing wrong with the postcards. But do remember that, you know, letters still work if you've got it right. But if you don't, you can lose a lot of money. But I will discuss that when I go on. But the other thing I would say to you, very important, sales and marketing culture, sales and marketing culture, sales and marketing culture, sales and marketing culture. You've got to have that in your company if you want to be successful in sales and marketing. The other thing is that in fitness marketing, which we do, is we try very hard to make it tough for our competitors. Now, sometimes, you know, when I say tough, that's one of the advantages we have. We have more money, we can make it more difficult for them. And the other thing then is retention plans. Do have retention plans in place to maximize the return. What I would say to most of you, and a lot of this is going to come down to how much money you have, there are some very good consultants out there in retention. Talk to them. If you don't know about sales, I'm telling you the best money you will invest. If you're short on money and you're putting together a marketing plan, put your money into hiring a professional sales trainer. Nothing will make up for weak sales. Nothing. Nothing. You know, and there's people here, whatever. But and have on board that when you get it, there's no point in getting in a professional salesperson, the fitness to teach you how to do it and then everybody forgetting it. It's about making the decision, bring in sales training, and implement it in your company. Okay? Now, with regard, because I know you're going to look for a lot of this, is two of these. Marketing budgets. Very simply, when you look at marketing budgets, a lot of what I'm going to show you in relation to how much money we take in from our direct mail campaigns and everything else is, make a decision, how much is a membership worth to you? Does anybody here take anybody to court for getting out of a contract early? No, you don't, so nobody does it. So forget 12-month contracts, because nobody's taking anybody to court anyway. So you've got to make a decision when you look at how much is a campaign worth to you. So if you look at us, we have, hopefully it comes out, there's four figures here. Now, don't you worry too much about them. What I'm showing to you is a 12-month membership is worth $1,248, a 22-month membership is $1,871, 38 months is worth that, 48 is worth that. Those different figures represent. The first one is an annual membership, someone who stayed 12 months. The second one is, we measure every month, what is the average length of membership that cancelled? So if I go in and say there was 400 cancellations, what was the average length of those members that cancelled? Okay? The third one is the average length of our memberships overall, cancelled memberships and current memberships. 48 months is the average length of our current memberships. Don't you worry too much about it. You just need to know it and make a decision which one are we going to try and judge as a barometer to how much we should spend on marketing. I choose the second one. So any figures I give you will be conservative enough as far as the money we take in. So what I'm saying to you is, if someone signs up a member, generally that membership to us will be worth lifetime $1,871. Okay? Generally. A lot of times it's worth more, but I want to pick the conservative figure. All right. Does everybody know the average length of their membership? Just look at your software and hit the button. So generally what happens is, I'm going to skip through this very quickly. When I would do my marketing plan, we make a decision. Now, I'm not saying that you use this, but it makes it easy to decide. Okay, 9,000, 9,500, 10,000, 11,000 members. When I was setting this up for 2012, we were making a decision how much we would spend, and then the side is that much to get a member, and then you can figure out what your total budget would be for the year. Again, you'll get this on the presentation, but it's really me just saying, I think the one that's shaded is the average IRSA cost of getting a new member. Between you and me, and I show you that what we bring in, we are far below that. We're at about $33 to get a member. $33. So we're not spending excessively on marketing. We're choosing our marketing tactics very, very discreetly. You can apply that to 2,000 members as well. Okay, so you decide, I want 2,000 members, I'm prepared to spend €30 to get a member, my budget is 60,000. Okay, we're a much more expensive club, we're prepared to spend $70 to get a member, to get 2,000 members, 140,000. And you might decide, well, I wouldn't mind getting between 2,000. You can make your own decision on what you want to spend. But some people don't even know what they're spending. You can also do it as a percentage of income. So if you predicted that you were going to do $1 million this year, you can decide, well, I want to spend 2% or 2.5% or 3% of my revenue on marketing. So it gives you a benchmark of how much you should spend, and there's one for 5 million, okay? The other thing too then is, and I'm going to skip this, so don't worry. And again, the reason I'm showing you this is that one of the things people don't realize is how much you have to spend in marketing. It really depends how good or bad your sales staff are. If your sales staff can only close 20% of the people they see, you are going to have to spend a vast amount of money on marketing. A vast amount of money on marketing. If your salespeople are closing 67%, you spend a lot less on marketing. The reason being is if you look at the bottom line, the leads required. For us at Westwood to sell 10,118 members, okay, if we were only closing 20% of the people we see, we would need 50,500 tours each year, and that equates to 139 tours every day. So the weaker you are at sales, the more expensive you're going to have to spend on marketing. So really, and I'm just going to skip this here just to give you an idea, that's one in 3,000 members. Now, retention. So we'll start from the very back. How do you make it very, very profitable? Retention. 10,000 members, we sell. If they stay for 12 months, we will make 10 million. You could do this with your own club. This is based on about $87 per membership because we have high junior memberships as well. And then you start looking. And the vast differences there you can see is that basically you see the differences in what it's worth to you. If you can get people to stay 30 months, you've got 26 million as opposed to 10.5 million. Now, a lot of people will ask, is sales more important than retention? That's a stupid question. They're really both important. But if you're not keeping an eye on your average length of membership, you're not really getting the most money that you should be getting from it. But if you can see there, if you can get most of your members to say 36 months, if you sell 10,000 members, the revenue will be 31 million as opposed to 10 million. And you can apply that to 3,000 sales as well. That basically, the longer they stay, the more you're going to make. And it's vast. It's vast. And you've got to remember, if you look at, the 12-month membership, so that if you sold 3,000 sales, you make $2 million. It's not as hard. You don't have to invest as much money after that 12 months. That really, the revenue, at $6.5 million versus $2 million, a lot of it is huge, just pure profit. Because at that stage, they're there, they're just coming, you don't have to resell them, okay? Another thing we noticed, by the way, with retention, 53% of our early terminations, we did this in our own research, is look at leaving months 3, 4, 5, and 6. So we decided we had to look at that. And if you look, we use this. One of the things I would say to you is when members join your club, and if you have a good sales team, you tell them everything, they join, they forget it. They don't know what they're entitled to. The problem with that is if they don't use your club, get used to using it, get into the habit of exercising, they're gone. And your profitability starts to go down because they start leaving at month 3, month 5, month 7, month 8. But if you can get them to stay, all the research shows in the first 6 to 8 weeks, get them in on a regular basis, get them using equipment, they will stay longer. Okay? So one of the things is we do is we use booklets that we give every member that encourage them. Here's what you get with your membership. It's the free 6-day personal training plan. We give it to everybody. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. So we use a lot of literature like that to give new members to make sure they use it. The other thing then is we would, does anybody know retention management? I find them very good. The American, we use them to do all our email now. There's too much to do internally. So all new members are getting emails, non-users are getting emails, people who low users are getting emails, they're getting emails every 2 weeks, very nice emails, BERTA emails, everything. I would recommend them because if you start doing it yourself, you run into difficulties of emails not getting through, you'll end up in lists. They're expensive enough, but we just find it's far cheaper than hiring somebody. Now, one of the things is we do now, who uses videos all the time in our company, makes videos, publishes videos, instructional videos? videos for members. This is a video, I'll give you an idea. Again, we're doing these things now.
So today you meet with your personal trainer for two important steps to achieving maximum results. Firstly, your trainer goes through a 20-point results questionnaire to find out what results you want. Secondly,
So I'm not going to show you the whole video. I'm going to show you a few videos now. Video has made it as easy as possible to operate like you're a multinational. You go back 8 or 9 years ago, forget about it, try and make it a video. It costs you an absolute fortune. Videos can be made very easy now, very high production levels, the whole lot. So we use a lot of videos. So that's retention. I'm just skipping over it. Do have your retention in place. Fitness selling. If you don't have a professional selling system where you have salespeople who are monitored and managed and closing ratios and everything else, you're going to find it difficult. The one thing I would say to you about a fitness selling system means, and it's very simple, that you have on a daily basis a strong system for generating leads. A strong system for generating leads. That usually comes from daily prospecting, that the salespeople and sales managers are prospecting on a daily basis. That's prospecting for people who may become members of your club or members of your business. You do have attractive sampling offers. What that means is the old ones work the best, the one-day trials, the seven-day trials, the two-week trials, attractive sampling systems that people can sample your product without making a commitment. But do have the backup in there to make sure that you can. There's nothing as bad as I've seen people offer seven-day passes and the prospect walks in, hi to reception, off they go, nobody talks to them. That will not work. Database management. I can't stress it enough. One of the things that we're way ahead of our competitors is, if I turn around in January and decide to do a direct mail campaign, I can direct mail well over 100,000 prospects in our database. Well over 100,000. We get 1% generally to buy because they're our database. And 1% is worth about 1.4 million on each campaign. But it's taken us a lot of years to build that database. When I went to Westwood in 2005, they had about 300 names. We have 100,000 now. And we manage that database very, very closely. The other thing, then, is you do need to have a follow-up system. When you do get people into your database, do you have a system that, you know, follows them up and gets them come into your club? Not everybody agrees with this, but our salespeople are trained to do one thing and one thing only. You may think it's unethical. Close on the first day. Close on the first day. I'm 30 years in this game, and I can tell you that anybody tells you different, B-backs don't come back. You may get a few to come back and decide, well, they do come back to our club, but I'm telling you, for everyone that comes back, there's 100 that doesn't. It's hard enough to start an exercise program. So our salespeople are trained to close people on the first day. The other thing is then you must have a follow-up and conversion system. I can't stress this enough. Our salespeople are going through continuous sales training. Any salespeople in the room? Sales managers? When somebody joins your company, how long is the sales training? Does anybody do sales training with new staff that's more than a day? More than two? Three? Yes, well done. Well done. I'm telling you this, nobody gets into our sales office until you've been through about 2 to 3 days sales training, and then you're back in a month later for another 2 days, and you're back in for regular role play, and no matter how long you're with the company, you still go to the basic sales training system, training that goes on. It is invaluable, and trust me, if you have no money, invest it in sales training, okay? And deliver more than promised. Okay, these are the basics. Now, the impact of sales training, I'm going to just show you, because this comes to Westwood. Generally, we get, through the phone and our emails, coming directly from our database, approximately 30 sales inquiries a day. 30. Do you know how many sales inquiries a day you're getting? Per club. No, sorry, that's for the three clubs. An interesting one about the sales inquiries, as I always find it funny, is because when the internet came along, is you knew exactly how many sales inquiries you were getting because they come in through the internet. Before, people would tell you nobody phoned. I don't really ever believe that. I think just people weren't recording them. But the value of this, okay? We have our salespeople and they're very, very good in the telephone. Now, the reason I'm going to show you this, here's what can happen in a club. If you're new to the business, and these are factual figures that we take measuring things. Somebody phones your club. Somebody emails your club for information. A phone call would generally happen. You either answer the phone or you call them on the phone. And then whatever happens then is they'll make a decision whether they go and visit your club or not. Okay? I can tell you, if they're not trained, no, but believe me on this, you are lucky to be getting 20% of those people to come and visit your club. A huge amount are not coming to visit your club. They're probably not being recorded. But if you take a system where only 20% of the sales inquiries actually decide to come and visit your club, and then if you have a weak sales system where only 20% of the visits are actually buying, that is typical of a club that doesn't really have a good sales and marketing system in place. It's typical. If you take 30 sales inquiries a day, right, and you take situation one, you will get about 428 new members from those a year. Yes. Yes. One of the things is, currently, we do not have a call center, but if I had my way, I'd have it in the morning, and everything through a computer. Everything. I would have everything through a computer. Now, a call center can be very expensive. There's no doubt, I think, anybody that has four or five clubs, I would have a central call center. Central call center. We're looking at it, but yes, I would have a central call center for everything. I think the value of it is that you only have to train a certain amount of people to take responsibility for it. You can manage everything that comes through. The good thing about now is that about 80% of the sales inquiries are coming through the internet anyway. If you get sales inquiries from your internet, do they go directly into your database? Or do they come into it in an email? All our internet queries are in our database the next morning automatically. Automatically. Okay, I'll show you that in a second. But if you take, but what I would say to you is, you know, I would have a call center if you're a 3 or 4 clubs, no doubt about it. Or you can outsource that. Because I know what we lose on sales calls being handled badly on the phone. It runs into the millions. Okay? If you look at situation two there, where basically you're getting 25% of your calls to make an appointment and 40% of them are actually joining, you'll get 1,095 new members. And then you have first session three there. Now, what you're looking at there is situation three is an organization that has a brilliant telephone system for getting people to make appointments to come into the club. They also have a great system for getting people to turn up, confirmation calls and everything else. And then when they come in, they have a great sales team that can convert 72% of them to become members. And the difference is the exact same number of sales inquiries in a year, situation ends up with, one ends up at 438 members, situation two, 4,888. And there is the value of that. Now, most people aren't aware of that. That's 30 sales inquiries a day. Situation one gets you just under 1 million. Situation two gets you just over 9 million. And that is by having a professional sales team. So what I'm saying to you is all the marketing in the world will not make up for a weak sales team. All it really does is, if you have a weak salespeople, it just throws more people to inquire and not next you take the next step. And it runs into the millions. You could even apply that to a club that gets 8 sales inquiries a day. You get the same situation. That's on 8 sales inquiries a day. You know, it's, you know, you see it there, the difference. And again, the difference is 2.2 million. One of the things is we measured recently, if you take the value we put on a membership of $1,800, okay, how much does bad telephone system cost you? And there you go. Basically, if you have 3 calls a day that are badly handled so somebody does not make an appointment to tour your club, and if your average closing ratio is 50% of the tourists that come in, 3 calls a day will cost you 1 million, 5 calls will cost you 1.7 million, and 8 calls will cost you 2.7 million. I am telling you, ring your competitors. It's far higher than that. With people who inquire and badly handled. Again, just the sales system, again, just to show you. 5 tours a day, okay? Would you say 5 tours is typical for a salesperson? Yes? 5 tours a day. Basically, if you measure closing ratios and the impact it has on sales, and again, a lot of people don't know, there is the impact on sales. And I know this because we measure our salespeople very closely. If I've got somebody that can only sell 15% of the memberships they see, or the consultations, the trials they see, we will get 181 memberships from that person. And it goes right up. I have somebody that does sell me 75, 76% of everybody they see.
they will get me close to 1,000 members a year. I have had weak salespeople who maybe because they're only new or whatever, that could not sell more than 15 to 20% of the people they see. If you've got four of those salespeople in one club, that can be the difference. So if you've got four salespeople who are selling for you and they're not trained, or maybe you don't have salespeople, your walk-in inquiries are dealt with by reception, fitness staff, or people that don't have sales skills, and that is the norm at your club, you are going to find it very, very difficult to get those big numbers. So that's what I would say, invest in sales training. And there again is the value of those memberships. Okay, I will take that just to kind of give you an idea. Here's Westwood in 2012, right? We had 15,074 tourists come in. Now, they were booked, they walked in, whatever. That's three clubs. If we were closing, and here is basically what happens. If all my staff could only sell at 20%, that's how many members we get. If all my staff sell at 67%, I get 10,100 members. The difference is vast, vast. Okay. By the way, I just want to show you something about picking sales staff. Luckily, in Dublin, most people don't know the difference between a good salesperson and a bad salesperson, which is great, so I get them all. This guy here, which I'm going to show you, sells me, on average, about 90 to 100 memberships a month. Last year, he would have sold probably about $1.6 million in membership. He was fired by our competition, and I took him on soon afterwards. This guy here, I got a message from HR that he wasn't suitable for sales. I had to go after him 3 weeks after HR had told me that he wasn't suitable. 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks later, to bring him back in, he would sell me, he'd be selling 110 memberships a month. A month, and he's with me about four or five years. There again, you can see the differences in salespeople. That's our clubs, where over a 6 month period, the difference of weak salespeople and good salespeople. And again, the revenue. So if you take salesperson A there, they generate, 820,000 in revenue versus 2.5 million. But that's why you need to know the lifetime value of a membership so you can justify who is good and who is bad. You also need to know who is managing your sales. You really, really need to know who is managing your sales. Is it somebody that knows nothing about sales? You're going to find it difficult. If you have somebody managing your sales, look, I get asked a lot to go and look at clubs. And one of the things I see, which always shocks me, is that the person in charge of sales never read a sales book, never been to a sales seminar, never sold a membership, has never been to a nursing conference or anything, and they're in charge of the sales process. And they're managing three, four people to sell. So really, you want to look very closely at the person that's managing sales. Do they know what they're doing? Okay. As I say, our sales training could be 4 or 5 days, and it's all to do with first day closing. And a lot of our marketing is to get people in front of these guys. That's a sales team where we lost two recently. Give you an idea of the impact of a sales system. We have a small club, which is a boutique club, and it might be closer to some other clubs here. But in January 2005, those people went in at the end of 2011, and I put them in. In January 2005, that club was selling about 125 memberships. In January. This year, they sold 247. Okay? So it just gives you an idea with professional salespeople. No marketing is going to make up for that. That's the year 2011, 2012, when we put the better sales team in. It just went through the roof. And again, there's the revenue. So really what I'm saying to you is sales staff, sales staff, sales staff. Another instance of sales staff there is we once took all our sales staff out for training, all our sales staff out. And it was a day, I think it was a promotion, something was on. But we estimated we'd normally have sold 35 to 40 memberships. When we took our sales staff out and we left reception and whoever to deal with the sales that day, how many did we sell? Three. So really, I can't get stressed that enough. Okay, now to go on to some of the where the money comes in. The most important thing is you have to decide is when you put together a promotions plan, how are you going to promote your club? How are you going to communicate with your target market? What strategies are you going to use to get people to buy your membership? Now, there's a lot you can use, TV, radio, print, email, SMS. Anybody here doing SMS marketing? Anybody doing SMS marketing? One, anybody else? SMS marketing is a gem. The simplest, easiest, most profitable form of marketing you're probably going to do. It's so easy, and we use it.
I'm always
Yes. No, don't get a list. Yes, good man. Yeah. We don't buy any list. Any list. Build your own database, build your own database, build your own database through prospecting. A lot of these, you've got to decide. If you're a big chain, you've lots of money, and you've got to build awareness, TV, radio, print advertising can work. It's very expensive. I mean, I'll give you an idea. If you need 3,000 memberships next year, and you decide you're going to do that through print advertising, do you know how many ad impressions you're going to need just to create if your sales is weak? What ad impressions means is, let's say you have a weak sales team that are only selling 20 to 25% of the people they see. They're only getting 20% of the people that inquire to come in. So if that's the situation, you decide you're going to use print advertising, newspaper advertising to get people in, how many times do you think the ad needs to be seen to achieve your goal? 30 million. 30 million, so be careful. So some of the stuff we use, direct mail. Now, again, like I asked a lot about direct mail. By the way, these letters will be taken off the presentation because I don't let people get their hands on these. This is Sharon Fitzpatrick. Have you ever heard of Sharon Fitzpatrick? Okay. Sharon Fitzpatrick did letters that brought in for us, I think it was 10 letters, 13.1 million in revenue. 13.1 million in revenue. And I'm going to show you the direct mail letters now, okay, and what they did. They are not postcards. It's direct mail. Number one, Dear Joe, this morning I authorized council to send you the attached check for €488. Okay, there's the campaign, letter, flyer, envelope, personalized. A lot of the stuff you see in it looked messy. It's very, very proper direct mail, let's say. It's specific and it's there for a reason, okay? There's the front and the back of the letter. A lot of copy. If you don't know how to write copy, don't try and write it yourself. Do not try and write it yourself. Copywriting is a science. Every word has to be taught true. You really need to know what you're doing. There's the campaign. It went to 60,000 people. It cost €30,000. Most people wouldn't spend that. 1.21% return. Now, when I say return, that's bought. They bought a membership. They signed up. 726 memberships. That took in 1.4 million based on the average length of a cancelled membership. So that's conservative enough. The second letter. Dear Joe, I have to tell you the truth. Do you see the way it's different than a postcard? It's a personalized letter from Sharon to a past member or somebody who inquired before. There's the campaign, flyer, letter, envelope, front and back. That highlighter is actually on the letter. Okay, lots of handwriting in the letter. It's proper direct mail that it's been used for years. There's the results: 65,000, cost us 32.5 grand, brought in 1.4 million. Dear Joe, are you like me, jeans too tight, buttons don't close, zips won't fast, feeling unfit? That's the letter. There it is, the letter and the flyer, and there was an envelope with that. Okay. Front and back of the letter. Oh, by the way, I should tell you as well. Oh, this is a technique that was used for years in direct mail. A lot of our direct mail letters will offer a discount on the joining fee. And we use the check. Do you see the check at the bottom? It's a personalized check. So the idea is that they don't throw that away too easy. That check is for €402 or €400 or whatever it is off the entrance fee. It is a check. Okay, very easy to produce. That brought in 1.7 million. This is the next one. Dear Joe, stretch. There's the letter. This time we didn't use a check. We used a plastic gift card because it was just after Christmas that people, you buy the gift cards for the shops. We knew people would not throw that away. Again, that letter went out, took in just over $1 million. Okay. Dear Joe, this is a smaller campaign. And this had gone to members for a referral campaign. You've been a valued member. That brought in $500,000 in membership. Again, we did it again, this time not with the voucher, but this time with a gift voucher. Again, that went to 15,000 people and brought in $364,000. We measure everything to the penny, to the cent. We know exactly what we get from every campaign. Dear Joe, we've made a movie. Okay? Now, the reason we did is we've got very much into video, and this is where you use integrated marketing. This here is deliberate. It deliberate looks messy. The idea is that when someone opens the envelope, stuff falls out, people pick it up, and they read it. Does everybody read it? No. I don't need everybody to read it. I just need 1% to buy. Okay, so I know that. But we now started using, you'll see it, there's a here, up on the top right-hand corner, a letter, a QR code that they would go with their camera, and they get directly to a video that shows them Westwood, the new Westwood, because it had changed. That one brought us in $1.8 million.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't bother measuring the response, because generally when they respond, they were past members or toured before or they inquired before, they're ready to just buy. So I don't really bother. We get so busy with it, it's impossible to say to everybody, keep a track of everybody that phones. Yes? Very important. The question is, do you ever do less copy? Okay. The question is exactly the same when someone says, I'm a woman and I shouldn't do weight training because I get big and bulky. It is the greatest myth of all that direct mail should have less copy. If you read any book on direct mail, it will tell you that long copy outsells short copy. It's a myth that the great direct mail houses still produce long direct mail. They know that there are certain people not going to read it no matter what, but there are people going to read it that are interested. There are techniques you use, the handwriting, the headlines, the bullet points to drag them through it. The problem with too short a copy is that if you make it too short and you don't really tell them what they need to know, they've no choice to get that information but ring. If you make it too long, our letters are written in a way that if you picked it up and only skimmed the headlines, you will say, join now, get it for such, it just includes free personal training. So generally, if you read about direct mail, it'll tell you that this myth that short copy outsells long copy is a myth. Okay, I'm Sharon Fitzpatrick, by the way. I'm Sharon Fitzpatrick. We created Sharon Fitzpatrick. She doesn't exist. She sends out our emails. She contacts our members. She writes our everything. It's Sharon Fitzpatrick. She does not exist. I write them. Yes. Our internal database. Okay, there's another one. Try it for 3 weeks. Again, front and back. A testimonial card. You see, again, we add these little things. Not everybody reads them. Testimonial card that goes in, members talking about how great we are. Okay? I'm going to skip over some of these and just show you. That was the last one. There, by the way, will give you an idea of exactly. 13.1 million. The average cost of getting a member on each of them was $30. And that'll give you an idea of how effective it can be. But your own database. Okay? Own database. How do you build your database? Or how do you? Oh yes, sorry, I should say this. Again, we have a lot to cover in the next 12 minutes. The most important thing you need to remember is direct mail works if it's good. And it comes down to copy. Copy, copy, copy. You've got to know what you're doing when you write the letters. You've got to know. If you don't know, outsource it. If you're going to outsource it, get somebody who specializes in direct marketing advertising. Somebody that writes for the charities or something like that who's very, very good. Okay? You've got to do, this is another thing too, is by the way, if you are doing a marketing plan of when you should market, you see there? That will give you us, it's generally the same in the industry. Try and, like the prime buying times, our direct mail campaigns are done in January and September. January and September. However, we have done them in June and had the same response, if not higher, which is funny. The other thing too is to really maximize marketing is own your market. Owning your market is this. The bigger your database, the better. It's up to you to fill your database. And you do that by recording everybody that ever makes an inquiry. We use a thing called ACT. Has anybody used ACT? I've used it for years. It's not that expensive. You can buy it for one club, about $400, $350. I've used it for years and still only use it for 20% if it's as good as any. You know, data capture. Do you find it difficult to get mobile phones off people numbers?
Well, maybe it's Ireland. We get 96% addresses, 87% email, and 93% mobile telephone numbers of every single prospect or anybody that inquires. SMS marketing, we use it. Okay. Simple messages, we usually at the end of a direct mail campaign. That'll give you an idea. That was one we did originally. We sent out to 15,000. It cost us 900 euros. And we took in, that works out at about $260,000. SMS is great. Just to kind of give you an idea with SMS and mobile marketing, the average text message is opened by about 98% of the people that get it, and it's opened within 4 seconds of receiving it. 96% of people that get it open it, and it's open within 4 seconds of receiving it. Email is open within 48 hours of receiving it if it's lucky to get through. Yes, you can do a lot more in email, but we do email marketing as well. Okay, I just want to show you this again. If you look at the letter and the barcode, on the barcode and direct mail letter, people could now see our club, which is great. This is very easy to do, and that's our club. This video cost us 500 euros. Okay, I'm not going to show you the whole thing. That video, our videos last year got seen by about 32,000 people. 32,000 people saw our videos on YouTube in that video. That video that I just showed you, and some of the other videos I'll show you, is made by that guy. He's 15 years of age. 15. You do not need Steven Spielberg to make it. Him and his sister made it on a Contra membership and 500 euros cash. He's doing all our videos. People coming out, you know, very, very proficient with this stuff, but that's what he made. Now, the usual just for filling your prospects, and then we want to get on to the web marketing. We use the norm, free passes. Okay, again, I say with free passes, make the back a mini brochure. Be very good at writing concise copy that persuades people it's worth coming in. There's some more passes. Again, linking things up to the internet. You see the one on the bottom right-hand corner? The back of that to register for your 8-day pass we start doing now is you go online and you put in a specific code to get it directly into the database. If you are doing passes, advertise your passes. We put posters up to say get your pass now. They're big, huge posters. We also have, if you're going into corporates and you're giving out passes, provide them with the promotional material they need to promote it. So the receptions, the HR department, you need to go in and give them posters to say, look, get your 8-day pass here. One of the things is, does everybody give out free passes for their club? Okay, this might be a little unethical, but it makes it very easy for the salespeople to do. Any passes we do, 4, 5, 6 day passes, when the person comes in, they get one of those, and the joining fee goes up the later they leave it to join. So they get the lowest price entrance fee on the first day. It is very easy to use, because if people go past the first or second day, they're not that interested. We do the 12 days of fitness. Okay, again, with different prices. Posters. Do you have these in your clubs? That's the leads we get on a Monday morning we have to go through from buddy referral boxes. You should also be getting these filled out at the end of a sale. The other thing that's very important, signage. Again, you can't see that in the bottom right-hand corner when people see that sign. To get a pass is they go on to westwood.ie/free. They put their name and address in. It goes into the database. It's there for us the next day to go and follow them up. This here is signage we use, again, free. We did this in a contract with memberships. Now, just to kind of put this in perspective, those bikes were up for 1 day. 1 day at a very busy industrial estate. 2 days later, this is our database, okay? Now, the number, you can't see it there, it's basically 471. It actually went to 540. 3 days later, there was 540 sales leads in our database, directly from that sign. They put it in themselves. 538 gave their emails, 528 gave mobiles, 513 gave their addresses, sales leads. From that, that's our database, we end up with 247 tours booked for the next 9 days. So this is database management integrated with everything that you do, even the normal advertising of signage, intermixed with web, going to websites to see your club, intermixed with them putting their own details into the database. Now, we're so tight now, I'm going to go to internet marketing. How's everybody doing on email internet marketing? Are they all doing well? Does everybody know how many hits a month they get to the website? Okay, here's our stats. 554,000 visits a month we get to the website. 32,400 unique visitors, 940 new leads every month, 220 new members a month, 461 new leads in that one. We take in approximately, based on the people who went into the website first, put their name and address into database, and then became members. They had to go to the website first, go into our database, and then we sell them. In 2012, 4.9 million in membership. The one thing I will say to you, web marketing is not for lazy people. You've got to know Google Analytics. Has everybody got their website optimized? Okay, well, I'm going to show you very, very quickly. SEO, so you know, is there's SEO and AdWords. SEO means that if someone types in gym or health club, that you appear on page one. You appear on page one. If you're not on page one, you need to get that looked at, because if you're not on page one, you're not going to be considered. The other thing on SEO I would show you is everybody's fine at getting up there for gym, but not everybody looks for what you sell based on gym. Do you also want to cater to people who have high blood pressure, who have high cholesterol? Do you want to cater to those people? So I'm just going to show you some of our SEO. This is non-paid advertising. This is in Dublin. If you type in gym with swimming pool, here's where you'll see Westwood. On page one, near the top. The most important thing is, if you're on page one, do you know where you're directing those people to? Are you directing them to your home page? Don't. You need to direct them to the proper page. If you're looking for gym with swimming pool and you click on our links, you will get to our swimming page. You will see a form like that. If you want your pass, you put your name and address. You go directly into our database. We follow you up. Okay? Some of the others. Outdoor courts, not even mentioning the word tennis. If you put that in Dublin, Westwood will be near the top. If you put indoor tennis courts, Westwood is number one. And you go to our tennis page, not our home page. If you put in bodybuilding gym, we'll be on page one. This is non-paid advertising on the web. And you will go to our bodybuilding page. If you type in weight loss advice, I tried weight loss advice in London and Las Vegas. There are no health clubs. Most of these nobody's competing with. You will see Westwood number one, and you go to our weight loss page. Fitness Classes Dublin, you're on page one. Les Mills Classes Dublin, we're on page three times on page one. We practically own it for Les Mills. If you type the best group exercise studio in the world, we are number one. Okay? If you type the best Les Mills studio in the world, organic listings, there we are. Okay? If you decide, now I'm not saying everybody would look for that, but it gives you an idea what you can do with SEO. And then what happens is you come to this. And this is when we use video again for launches. This was an amateur video made by some young guy that works for us. And again, the idea is to do a ton of things. Again, I'm just showing you that very quickly. Video we use because that costs us nothing to produce. Nothing. And yet the idea is now we can physically say to people, if they click on a link, here's our club. That was the launch of our Les Mills studio. We call it the Les Mills Experience. It holds about 120 people, and most of the classes are full non-stop all day. So again, it's creating this atmosphere. Weight loss advice, page one. Ladies-only gym in Dublin. We're not a ladies-only gym. Westwood is no more a ladies-only gym than I'm Santa Claus. But if you go into Dublin, we own the market. You're looking for a ladies-only gym. We own the first half of page one of Google. Okay? And when you go there, you'll go to our Les Mills page. We're on page one for everything. All of these, plus lots and lots more. Organic listings. If you go to YouTube and type in Jim Dublin, we'll be all over page one. They're all our videos. That's our YouTube channel. Okay? And then there is paid for advertising. What I will tell you with paid for advertising is, it's about being found for things that people may be interested in what you have to offer. It's not just gym or health club. Just to show you some of them, fitness classes, there we are. Weight loss tips. Is anybody here paying for weight loss tips on Google Ads? Anybody? The term weight loss tips. What do you think people go to your business for? What's the number one reason people go to your business for? Lose weight is up there. Okay, weight loss tips, we're number one. Bodybuilding supplements. Somebody's looking for bodybuilding supplements, we'll be there. Best weight loss advice, we'll be there. Build muscle, we'll be there. And this is why I'm saying is, it's not for lazy people. Anybody here paying, now they'll stop this after they hear this, they'll be onto Google immediately. Anybody here paying for Curves name? We are. We decide we'll stay ahead of Curves. And you do it by using words like, we're more than just Curves, we're Westwood. Okay? If you look up diet and you're in Dublin, we'll be there. If you look up exercising during pregnancy, we'll be there. If you look up get ripped, anybody here got that? And I can tell you, some of these searches are huge and nobody is competing with them. There are some of these that no other ads will appear. Ladies only gym. Now, this is combining organic listings with paid for listings. So you go into Dublin and you type in, you want a ladies only gym, we practically own the page. Not just once listing. If you go in the most effective weight loss program, we're there. You go in weight management, again, it's there. Weight Watchers, we'll take a bit of their business as well. Somebody wants to buy a yoga video and they type in yoga videos, they'll go in yoga videos and we'll say, why not try a real yoga class? Is anybody doing this? Okay. Weight training for rugby. Could ask the question, you know what rugby is, but there you go. We'll be there. How to get a flat stomach, anybody paying for that? There you go. The conversion rates on some of these, by the way, we're getting click-through rates of 52 and 53% on these. That's click-through rates when they see the ad clicking. The biggest ones we get, by the way, are swimming, slimming, Weight Watchers, weight loss tips. They're the biggest conversion rates we're getting. Okay? Reduce blood pressure. Do you help people to reduce blood pressure? This is, again, how you can target different segments. By the way, and I'll finish on this, because that, by the way, is what we're paying in marketing. Mass advertising, we've stopped it. This whole thing of doing flyers door-to-door, general print advertising is costing us too much. The second one down is the URSA average for getting a member at our type of club. The next one is the normal URSA average. That's what we're paying in direct mail, and our total cost is about $33 per member. The cheaper ones are the website, passes, buddy referrals, and guest privileges. But again, just to finish off, what I'd say is whatever marketing plan you take or whatever this you want to implement, just think, who is your market? What are the threats coming your way? Who do you want to be? And then think about how to put that into place. The marketing plan is really just a document that you write to put those things in. My main ones I would say to you is direct mail, if you can afford it. Build your database from to now. Register your YouTube channel. Register your Facebook. Really start building your database and work on professional selling. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. That's a very interesting question. What do you give people who refer? I've actually stopped giving out premiums. We got a better response when we stopped giving gifts to people to persuade them to bring in somebody, because it felt like that the member felt, if I bring this person in because they know I'm getting this gift, okay, what if it doesn't work out for them? Where if we say to somebody, look, just bring them.
There's a 2-week trial for the club. They can come along and try the club for free. There's no pressure. We leave it to the salespeople to sell them. So the real gift is we're saying to people, because they're your friend, they can come and use the club for 2 weeks. When they come in, we will give an offer in the joining fee. Because it's your friend, I'm going to get them a special discount in the joining fee. So what we're saying to the person is, we're not giving you anything, so don't feel it, you're under any pressure. But I have found when there's no premium for referral campaigns, the response has been better. Well, yeah. Yes. See, what I found over the years, and I did it by accident once, that if we put up a poster, bring us somebody who will give us their money, your friend, ask them to give us their money, and we'll give you something free. It's a bit like a clothes shop. Get your friend to come in and we'll give you a shirt. What we're saying to members, if your friend comes in, we will look after your friend. And so the member is saying, come in, because they know me, they're going to do a special deal for you. But I'm not against referral campaigns. Again, I just find sometimes my personal opinion with referral campaigns be this. If I have a month where there's 500 memberships normally sold, and somebody puts on a referral campaign, if that referral campaign hadn't been there, all of a sudden the normal 500 sales that would come in, 250 of them are getting this referral premium that they didn't need to give out. Because you know sales people, they'll go and everybody that comes in, yeah, they came in the referral campaign, they came in the referral campaign. And if you actually investigated, you'd probably find, no, they didn't. They were told about the referral offer when they were signing the form. But I would not write them off, you know. Slideshare.com, slideshare.net, slideshare.net. Yeah. And if you type in the title presentation, you'll find it. What was the name of it? Integrating a 12-month sales and marketing plan. Or if you type in, increasing profits with an integrated 12-month sales and marketing plan. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. You're looking at them. We're looking at them. And it's a very important thing is how many is in the marketing team. I am the marketing manager, the regional manager, the sales and marketing director. I train the sales staff. I write the copy because I'm not saying it's the right way and it can be tough. But one thing I'm not a fan of is marketing by committee. Generally, I'll tell a lie. My graphic designer is full-time with me. We have no HR manager. Got rid of her. But we would never get rid of our graphic designer. Work very closely with him. And then we have the guy there doing the videos. But usually in marketing meetings, I try and keep it to 2 or 3 people because it just goes all over the place. Go ahead.
How are you in specific months when you concentrate on your works, what you can ask, and maybe some low season when you don't play kind of marketing?
Very important. I would say to you is this. The big expensive campaigns are direct mail. You cannot afford to do them every month. Well, maybe you could. We do them in January and September to exploit the main buying season, January and September. We have run over and done them in other months, and interesting enough, the response has been nearly as good, if not better. Generally, Dan, the way I look at marketing plans is everything else is really daily. You know, I could say to you, do this in January, February, March, April, May, but we don't look at it like that. We want to know that every day the repass is being given out, every day the sign is working, every day the database. Like database, who here has ACT? Does anybody have ACT? Is your ACT linked to your database or your website? Okay, these are the things you need to learn. There is an add-on you can buy for ACT. It costs, I think, $99, and it links to your website. So when they type in John Byrne, Las Vegas, want to pass, straight into your ACT database, it goes in automatically. So we link everything. That's daily stuff. So referral campaigns or anything like that, you can run them continuously out throughout the year. The things I would implement is sales training. You want to look at that and put that on your plan. I want that done every 2 months. I would urge you, if you really want to be successful, I look at the clubs that are successful, sales training, sales training. I do ours. But there are people in the States to do it. Brenda Abdilla, Karen Woodward, yes?
Do you have any places you recommend for sales training?
I've done it, but you know, you really need to get people in. There are one or two here. There's, what's her name? Casey Conrad.
Casey Conrad. She also wrote a very good book. There's Brenda Abdilla. There's sales makers. Ed Talk was very good. But you really need to make a conscious decision that you're going to really implement that and make sure it happens. And the owner of the club and the manager need to say they're going to take this on board. We should, but we don't. A lot of things we should. I think you should, because if you look at the value of those memberships, we don't. Sometimes I have to convince financial controllers. But, yeah. Thank you.